Series of sermons that we started last week called Just Because. And this series is all about God's love for us, and He loves us just because. You know, as a father, I remember a time when my daughter was, I think she was 2 or 3 years old, and she came up to me and she goes, "Dad, Daddy, yes, why do you love me? Just because." And then she'd ask me again, "Daddy, why? Just because." And so I'd say this, I said this about 4 or 5 times, right? And so one time, a couple weeks later, she was in the middle of doing something that she shouldn't be doing. And I'm like, "Becca, why are you doing that?" "Just because." It's interesting because that is just, I'm laughing because I just used the name of the sermon of the title backwards without even trying. It just naturally came out. None of you guys even caught it either, so that's okay. But I'm laughing because it is just the way that God is. God loves us just because of who we are. He created us to love us. He created so that we could be loved by Him. And that's an amazing thing. But I think we often forget of these ideas that God is going to love you beyond anything that you're facing here today. You know, today, as we walk through life and we think about all of the troubles and all of the difficulties that we're facing on life, we often have this problem of saying, "Where's God?" In the midst of our issues, in the midst of our problems, we feel like God is so far away from us that He's not there. But you know what? God is always with us. And God always loves us. We can be sure of that. That God will always be with us. There's also a benefit that comes to loving the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 103. We're going to be in the whole entire chapter of Psalms 103. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. We're going to read it in a moment. But when we look at today's verse, we will find that there is a benefit to being loved by God. You know, I used to, when you think about, you know, what's the benefit of an action? What's the benefit of this? Why do I do this? Why do I say this? Why do I do these things? There's always a benefit to an action, right? Hopefully a good benefit to an action. There's always, earlier today in Sunday school, we were talking about the consequences of sin. And so there's literally a consequence to every action too. And whether that's good or bad is depending upon what that action you're doing is being. But in this particular case, there's benefits to loving God. God calls us to love Him. He calls us to have this relationship with Him. And He doesn't just call us to love Him or have Him love us with no benefits. There is a benefit to loving God. There's things that you get in return that God gives to us as we love Him. And so today we're going to look at this passage. We're going to look at this passage that comes from David, the man who was called the man after God's own heart. That's what his name was. If you know David and you know his story, you know that oftentimes David's story did not go so well. He did not always have a good life. He did not always do the right thing. In fact, this is the same man who committed adultery and then had the husband of the lady that he committed adultery with killed.
It wasn't his friend.
Yeah. And yet we find this to be a man after God's own heart. David is still called that. David failed many times. Sure, he slayed the giant, but he also did everything else that we talked about. Yet David comes to an understanding that even with all of his failings, there are benefits to loving God. Even with all of the mistakes he made, God still loved David. Do you know that God still loves you even with all the mistakes that you have made in your life? Everything. There's nothing that you can do. There's no mistake in your life that will say God won't love you. Any mistake that you make, God is still going to love you through those mistakes. Let's read Psalm 103. We'll read verses 1 and 2 to begin with, and then we'll jump in from there. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Let's pause and pray. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, we pray as David prayed. Bless the Lord, all our soul, bless his holy name, and let us not forget the benefits of blessing and loving you, Father. Lord, we pray today that we could stand before you and worship you and love you, but we pray also that we would be reminded that there is a benefit to being loved by you. Father, today in the culture we live in, many of us feel like it's almost impossible to love you, but it's not. You love us regardless. Father, you love us regardless of our sins and our actions and all of those things. You love us just because that is who you are. And so, Father, help us to grasp a hold of those things. Help us to remind ourselves that we are loved by you. Father, I pray that my words would not be my own, that you would truly be blessed by this time together, that you would send your Holy Spirit, and that through your Spirit, you would open our minds and our ears and our hearts to grasp a hold of the very things that you want us to hear from David's amazing words in Psalm 103, Father. Help us to grasp a hold of the love that you have for us, to understand that love, so that we can love the world around us like you do, Father. Help us today be guided by you, directed by you, and strengthened by you. Let my words not be my own, but let them truly be your words, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. David says these amazing things. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. There's something that David is starting this psalm, Psalm 103. He's starting this on purpose. He's starting this verse this way because sometimes we have to remind ourselves exactly who God is. Sometimes we have to position ourselves and say, God is not just someone who loves us when we do something. You know, the great word, Aretha Franklin, R-E-S-P-C-T, right? I'm not going to sing it, but Aretha Franklin would stand there and she would sing this song. And she would basically say in that song that you can love her because if you respect her, you love her. Our world today does the same thing. If you go out there and you do something nice for someone, guess what? They will love you in return because of what you've done. The only person that loves us even though we have not done anything to deserve that is God. Our kids, oftentimes, I used this example last week, but it's the truth. You know, our kids, oftentimes we love them even though they're sometimes the most terrible thing that can be, right? Terrible twos turn into terrible fives, that turn into terrible 16s, that turn into terrible 22s, and terrible whatever, that goes on and on and on. But yet we still love our kids, right? Our kids can do the meanest things. I mean, listen, I as a child, I won't call out my daughter or my son or anyone else in this room. As a child, I remember times that my mother or father would punish me and they would send me to my bedroom. Today, as an adult, I wish my parents would punish me and send me to my bedroom. But then, as a young kid, it was a big issue. And I'd go into my bedroom and I'd lay on my bed and I'd kick the wall. I hate you! It's interesting that my parents still loved me through all of that. The worst things I could do, they still loved me. God is like that. Sometimes we just have to remind ourselves that God loves us. That regardless of what we do, God is going to love us. There's nothing that you can do to have God love you any more than what he does right now, right here in this place. I mentioned that last week. I mentioned that over and over again, and I will continue to mention that. There's nothing that you can do to make God love you. However, love you any more than what he already does. However, sometimes we have to remind ourselves who God really is. Right? Sometimes we go through life and we just forget. I had a really good friend who was this fairly hot shot in a business world. He was way up there in the corporate rungs, if you will. And I would spend time with him and I was joking with him and I would do all of these things. And every once in a while, we would meet someone out at a restaurant or something like that. And someone would come up and they were really, really polite. And they were very, very just being as to the T as much as I could. Oh, sir, they call him sir, and they call him all these things, and I'm looking going, sir, what's this all about? And then I remind myself, oh, wait, he's the president of the company. That's why he's saying this. This person works for them. And I had to remind myself every once in a while, because to me, we were just friends. We had a different relationship. We teased each other. We joked with each other and those types of things. But in his business world, he was the president of the company. And so he responded differently to them than the way that he responds to me. Sometimes I think we forget that God is God. Sometimes I think we forget that when we say that God will love us no matter what, that's a huge thing, because what we base this world upon is this finite world that we live in today. This 8 to 5, this we're only here for so many years and then we're going to pass from this world and we're going to go on. But what we have to do is sometimes remind ourselves that we are loved by a God who created the world. We are loved by the God who created the mountains. We are loved by the God who created the oceans. We are loved by a God who created the most wonderful things in the world. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves, David is doing that because what? Why? We have to position ourselves in that place of understanding who God is so that we can understand how his love is to us. And so David does that. David positions himself and says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He reminds himself that God is a blessing to us. God wants to bless us. He wants us to have all of these things. And then he ends verse 2 with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." There is a benefit to loving God. Verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And then it goes on to say, "And who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems you from the life, from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." David does an amazing job of starting to list out some benefits. I love Psalms and I love David's writing, because what David is doing is David is setting before the Lord. All of his Psalms are wonderful prayers that we should be praying ourselves. But he's standing before in his prayer time, he's maybe on his knees or maybe he's singing these things to the Lord, and he's saying, these are the benefits of God's love. How God benefits me. You know, we often look at a membership club to something. You know, my wife and I went to Sam's Club yesterday to do some grocery shopping, we buy very little groceries now from Sam's Club because they come in too big of things. But there's a few things we needed to pick up. Becky and Paul probably do all of their shopping at Sam's Club because they have a lot of kids. And so, but what we found ourselves doing is that, you know, there's that lady sitting at the front door and she's waiting for you to pull out the magic card that gets you into Sam's Club, right? I wonder what would happen if you tried to walk in without this card. But, you know, you walk in and what do? The very first thing is you go, I'm a member. I get to go into Sam's Club, right? I have my Sam's Club membership card. I get to get in. There's a benefit to that. That benefit is that you get to go inside that club and you get to buy and pay more for things that you probably could have bought less somewhere else. But that's the benefit of being at Sam's Club. No one caught that. Is it really that hot? Is it hot out there? You guys are a little slow right now, you know. I know it's hot. I'm sorry. The air conditioning's broken. There's nothing we could do about it. So, and the lights, huh? Yeah. Well, you could come sit in the dark over here, Cheddar Man, you know, if you wanted to. But there's a benefit to this. There's a benefit to getting into Sam's Club. There's a benefit to these things. Guess what? There's a benefit to God's love, too. Have you ever sat down? I mean, listen, the benefit that we often assign with God is that we're going to get salvation. We're, you know, our eternity will be with him in heaven, and that's the benefit. And oftentimes when you ask a Christian, what's the benefit of following God? Well, I get to get into heaven. Yeah, that is true. But guess what? There's so many more benefits to loving God, to being in a relationship with him, other than just getting eternity in heaven. Eternity in heaven is not by any means a small thing, but there's so much more to loving God than just that. And we have to understand those things. God, there's so many different benefits. Let's look at these just real quickly. We'll run through these. Verse 3, who forgives all of your iniquity, who heals your diseases. There's two right there. Who forgives all your iniquities? God forgives your iniquities. He forgives all of those things you do. Guess what else he does? He heals your diseases. Are you suffering from things? David is saying, let's pray to God and see if God will heal you of those things. He will heal you of those diseases. He goes on, verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit. Wow. Right? The pit. The pit, the low place, that place where no one wants to be, that darkness, the ugliness of life where you seem like you're just in that pit of despair. There's nowhere to go. Guess what? God will redeem you from there. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Man, that's amazing. Think about that. God gives you steadfast love and mercy. That word steadfast means that God is going to continually give you this love and mercy. It's not a one-time thing. It's not where you put in your ATM card and you get that money out and guess what? It's gone in a heartbeat. No, this is steadfast. It continues. It continues to flow. God gives it to you always and he gives you mercy. Thank God for God's mercy, right? We need his mercy. He goes on to say, who satisfies you with good. That's a wonderful thing. Do I want to be satisfied with vinegar when I want a glass of water? No, I don't. I want something good. God satisfies you with something good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Lord, please let our youth be renewed like eagles, right? God does those things. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Think about that. How many times have you said, I just need justice? I wish God's righteousness would be. Guess what? His righteousness and justice are here. They're for all of us who are oppressed. He has made his ways known to Moses and his act. God not only knows where you're going, but he makes his ways known to you. You don't have to go through life wondering which way or which direction to go. God gives that to you, and he makes his way known to you. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Again, thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your graciousness, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. David is keying in on something here. If you've noticed, this is a repeat of an earlier verse. Slow to anger. God is slow to anger. I could use Bonnie as an example, but I won't, although I should, because Pastor Chaz isn't here. But have you ever noticed, you know, we were talking about this earlier. That's why, Bonnie, I was using this earlier. So have you ever noticed, though, someone who just immediately turns on a dime and gets angry just like that? You do so. you do. Brett just said Bonnie. But if you've ever noticed someone, if you've ever been around someone that they could be the most happiest person. Don't. Oh, well, sorry. Get in line. But here's the point. The point of it is that if you've ever been around someone like that, right? Quick to anger. Someone who says something and they just immediately get mad. You immediately take offense and you get offended or you get any of those things and you build that offense. You build that problem, that anger up. God is not that way. He's slow to anger and thankfully he is. We should all be thanking God that he is slow to anger. And not only that, he's abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. This word chide is an interesting word that David chose to use. Of course, this is a translation of the word. But when he says chide, what he's saying is that, you know, have you ever had someone that just, like what I just did with Bonnie, right? I'm prompting her. Making fun of her, or Pastor Chaz would say, I do the same thing to him. I chide them. I give them difficulty. God doesn't do that. He doesn't prompt you to get angry. He doesn't put things in front of you. He loves you and wants to be with you. And nor will he keep his anger forever. That's how we know. I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. That's how we know God is a man and not a woman, because he does not keep his anger forever. Okay, I'm sorry. I had to say it, right? My wife's not here, so I can say that none of you are allowed to go tell her that. No, I'm kidding. But have you known someone that can remember something that happened 5, 10, 15 years ago, and they have that anger that just comes up? You know what the problem with that is? Is that they've been hanging on to that pain and suffering for that many years. You know, I tell my wife all the time, she's like, do you remember when that person did such and such? Or when we had that discussion, I'm like, honey, I can't remember what I had for dinner yesterday, let alone how someone made me angry or happy 2 weeks ago, right? And it's a blessing from God, and I thank him every day. I don't have the capability of hanging on to those things. And that's a blessing. I take that as a blessing. But God does the same thing. He doesn't keep a hold of anger. He doesn't keep a hold of those things. I'm sorry, ladies. I know you're all giving me these looks like, I'm going to kill you now. Remember that you should not keep anger forever against your pastor, nor should you. Remember that it says the Lord is merciful, and so should all the ladies in the church be merciful and gracious to God and to Pastor Jason. All right. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Here's another benefit. God does not deal with us according to our sins. And again, thank God that he's that way. Just think about it. If God dealt with you in the way and gave you what you deserve, think about that for a moment. If you truly got what you deserve, what would you get? No, thank you. I'm so glad and I praise God that I serve a God who doesn't give me what I deserve, but gives me his grace instead. And David is celebrating that fact, and he's telling us, understand that God, a benefit of loving God, is that he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. In fact, God so loved us that he gave his what? His only begotten Son to die on the cross for you and I, so that we can have everlasting eternal life. God not only loves you, that he's not going to deal with you in your sins, he's going to provide you a way out of your sins because he loves you that much. And that's a benefit of loving God. He goes on to say, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. Now, one real quick thing from this that we have to understand. So great is his steadfast love towards those who what?
Fear
him. Yeah. There's a point here that David is understanding, and David's understanding is that we can't go out here and live our life however we want to and not expect the benefits of God, right? In order to get the benefits of God, you have to follow God. Following God means that when David uses this word fear, the translation of that word is love and respect. So David loves and respects God so much so that he's also aware of his power and his understanding. You know, God has the ability at any moment to shut every one of our mouths and take us from this earth just like that. He controls our days. He controls our breaths. He controls how many times we breathe in and out. And we could, in just a heartbeat, God has a way of doing that. Yet, because of those things, he doesn't pay us back or reward us based upon the sin that we have. Instead, he loves us and has great love towards us as we fear him. Not only does that, he says in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Our friends here are from West by God, Virginia, right? That's what they call it, right? Or are you guys are in West Virginia, right? Yeah. And so, you know, it's interesting, but have you ever tried to see where west and east meet? You can't, right? If you continue going east, will you ever go west? If you continue going west, will you ever go east? No, you always go in the same direction. They will never meet. West and east never meet together. North and south never meet. You're always going in one direction. And so we find this, that God says that as far as the east is from the west, so does he remove our transgressions from us. God is removing the transgressions. He's removing our sins from us. And he's putting them so far away that you could never meet them together. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. There are truly benefits to loving God. And we must understand those benefits. Those benefits are something that God gives to you and I to walk forward and to be part of, to love. As we love him, he's going to give those things to us. And here's just a real quick list. He forgives us of your sins. He heals you. He redeems your life from the pit. He gives you steadfast love and mercy. Gives you good things. Renews your youth. Gives you justice. Makes his ways known to you. He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, compassionate to us. If you ever wondered if God loves you, here's a wonderful list for you right there. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves exactly how much God loves us. I find myself going to Psalms 103 often. Because sometimes in the midst of trouble, In the midst of downtime, in the midst of things that aren't going the way that I want them to go, or in the midst of difficult times, I have to remember that God loves me. And I have to remind myself of these things, and there are many more in Scripture. As we read Scripture, we find out exactly how much God loves us. Psalm 103 verse 15 says, As far as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. David begins to tell us, as all of these benefits, these are the benefits of loving God, and we went through that list, and he shares all of these wonderful things with us, and then he right from there goes into this: as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. Have you ever looked at, you know, I love flowers. We have a lot of flowers in our house that we plant, those types of things. But one of the things that really bothers me is they don't last very long. You know, you plant a flower and it comes up. We planted actually we did it in winter. We were a little late, but we got them in. We planted almost 75 tulips around our house. And when they came up in the spring, they were beautiful. Really, really beautiful. I mean, it was wonderful. We loved it. My wife and I were so happy that they all lived, and some chipmunk or squirrel or something else didn't dig them up. And we were so excited about that. And then I was bumming because they lasted for about a week and a half. And they were gone. You know, when we look at it, and we look at love, and we look at all of these things, as for man, his days are like the grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. What happens to the flowers? They come and they go very quickly. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. What David is trying to understand and get us to understand is that man is blooming, right? But we are quick to fade. None of us in this room, God has been around for thousands of years. Regardless of what your theology is, you can still say that God has been around for 1,000 years. Thousands of years. Man at most will last 100 and some years, right? Many of us won't even make it to that place. It's quick. Our love is for a limited time here on this earth. But what David is saying is that we are not loved by something that is going to pass. We are loved by a steadfast love of the Lord who is everlasting to everlasting. That means his love is going to be with you forever. It's not going to come and pass. Have you ever been hurt because someone that you thought really loved you no longer loves you? Someone that you had a relationship with, someone that you thought you were really close with, has come into your life and you had this amazing time, and then all of a sudden they leave and they go on somewhere else. That person may still love you, but they're not part of your life. God's love is not like that. See, human minds want to compare God's love to human's love, and human love is limited in nature. It's limited in the scale of what we can love. It's limited in the way that we can love. It's limited in the time that we love. God's love is everlasting, and it goes on forever. The most amazing thing is that when we leave this earth and we pass on into eternity, we will experience God's love in the same way that we can experience his love here. It'll just be in a greater form because we'll have our eyes opened at the blink of an eye, and we'll see this amazing love that is before us. But David goes on to say something that's very interesting. He says in verse 18, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments, the Lord has established his throne in heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. See, David was coming to an understanding. David has lived his life, and he's, again, as we said, he's a man after God's own heart. He's had many wonderful things. He's had some pretty not so wonderful things happen to him. And he's done all of these things, and David has figured out in his life that there's one of two things that has to happen. He has learned that he cannot serve two masters. David has to choose. Am I going to be loved by the God whose love is forever, or am I going to love the world and love the things of the world? David has come to this place, and he's coming to this understanding that I can't serve two masters. I have to choose. I have to choose to be loved by God, or I have to choose to love this world and be loved by this world. The same thing is for all of us in this room. We have to come to an understanding. Are we going to be loved by God, or are we going to be loved by this world? Because if you're loved by this world, you're not going to have the same relationship with God. And if you're loving God, you're not going to be loved always by this world. In fact, Scripture tells us that we'll be persecuted because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I'm okay with being persecuted by this world because I know where my eternity is. And I know the love that lasts forever. But what David is coming to this understanding, and what I want to ask you to come to this, is he knew that sin was prevalent in his life. He knew that he had failed. He knew that he had fallen short. He knew that he had messed up. And so he's coming to this idea, and he's reminding himself, I have to choose. That's what all of Psalm 103 is. Psalm 103 is a celebration to the fact that David is no longer following sin, but he's following God, and he's celebrating of the love. And so he reminds himself at the very beginning of this verse how great God is, because he is saying, God is greater than anything I can find on this earth. God is greater than any love that comes from this place. God's love is much better than all of those things. When he chose to let God master his life, it always turned out well. Think about David's life for a moment. When he chose to not follow... if you don't know the story of David very well, but David was anointed to be the king, but there was a problem. Saul was the king at the time, and Saul didn't want to let go of his kingdom. And so David goes in, and as he's going, he's actually being chased, if you will. He's being sought after. And he's doing all of these things in his early days. Yet when David fails, when he stops short of killing Saul, what happens? David is blessed in return. God blesses him. When David chooses not to follow God, what happens? He's standing on the rooftop, looking down, seeing a nice young lady bathing. He's attracted to her. He should have turned away and walked away, reminded himself of how much God rules in his life. He should have turned around and said, "That's not for me. I am not to be looking at that person. I should go away." But he didn't. Instead, he entered and asked Bathsheba to come up, and he enters into a relationship with her. See, the simple fact is that God's love is available to us who choose to follow him. God's love is available to you when you choose to follow him. When you choose to follow the things of this world, you're going to get the things of this world. In fact, Romans tells us, we were reading this again in Sunday school, but we were reading that God gave them over to their what? Their debased mind. They sinned so much that God just said, "Here you go. I'm giving you over to your sin." The simple fact is that when we understand that we can't serve two masters, we have to choose. We have to choose who I'm going to follow. Are you going to follow God, or are you going to follow the sin of your life? Are you going to follow him, or are you going to follow this place? Are you going to live for this place, or are you going to live for him? The benefits are clear. David does an amazing job of laying these benefits out and saying all of these wonderful things. This is what you get by following God. This is when you love him, he will love you in return in this way. These are all of the things. Have you ever seen a benefit of loving the world or the earth? What do you get in return for that? Not much. You get pain and suffering. Loving this earth and this world will only last a certain amount of time. It's not going to be around forever. Some would say thank God to that, but others. God's way is, he's saying, it is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that. But he's asking you to choose. He's saying, here. You know, back when Belinda and I were younger, and we were in school, middle school, and those types of things, I don't know if Belinda ever did this, but I did. I'm sorry to throw you into my age bracket here, but you are. You ever passed a note that said, do you love me? Check yes or no, right? You ever seen that? Oh, we all have done that. We're all old enough in this room that if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we probably passed a letter along the lines that says, yeah, right, Cheddar Man, you've done something along those lines. I'm sure you have. When you open that letter, I remember the first, I won't bring it up, but I remember the first time I sent that, a letter like that. I'm like, man, what's going to happen? Wonder what she's going to check. She checked yes, but you know how she gave it to me? She hit me with a baseball bat in the head with the note. She gave me the note, and then she hit me in the head with a baseball bat. I'm like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. I'm in love, right? The penalty of loving of that earth was very obvious. But God stands before us and he gives us a choice. He says, do you love me or do you love this earth? Do you love me? Do you love this world? Do you love me or do you love your sin? Do you love me or do you love the things that you're going through? See, the choice is ours to make. God will never force you to love him. He always gives you a chance, a choice to choose to love him. And the choice is very simple. We can stand before that list and we can look at the choice of loving the world, right? It's not forever. Someday this world will pass. The things that are beautiful in this world will fade away. It will turn on you in a heartbeat. It will lie, steal, cheat, do whatever it can. It'll make itself all about itself. It'll do all of those things. Over here, we have a God who loves you, will always love you, steadfast love, love that took him to the cross for you. See, sometimes we have to remind ourselves why we chose to follow God. When you're in the midst of an issue, when you're in the midst of trouble, when you're in the midst of pain and suffering, pause for a moment and just say, this is why I chose to follow God. This is why I chose to love him, because he loves me greater in many ways than I could ever receive from anywhere else. I'm going to ask you to stand and have the worship team come forward. Today I want to ask you this simple question. If God wrote you a love letter and said, do you love me, circle yes or no, what would you say? I pray that every single one of you would say yes. I pray that you have said yes. I pray that you're following him in the way that he deserves to be followed. But the simple truth and reality is that oftentimes our actions don't prove the love that we have for God. Sometimes our actions prove otherwise. Sometimes our steps prove otherwise. Sometimes we forget just how much God loves us and God provides for you and I. But God loves you. He loved you so much so that he forgives you of your sins and your iniquity. Not only does he forgive you, he forgets it, because it's as far from the east as from the west. It's at the bottom of the ocean. There's no getting back to it. He loves you so much so that he stands before you, and even though you have done wrong, and even though you have maybe thumbed your nose at him or told him that he wasn't important, he still says, here I am. I love you anyway. He loves you so much that he went to the cross, took the pain and the suffering of the nails in his hand and his feet, the lashes on his back, the crown of thorns on his head. He took the spear to his side and said, I love you. In return, all he asks is for us to love him, for us to seek him, to fear him, to know that he is everything that he says he is. So today, before we end the service, what I want to ask you to do is, maybe today you're here and you've never given your life to Christ. You never asked him into your heart. You've never said, Lord, I love you for who you are, and I want to be with you. If that's you, maybe today will be that day that says, maybe today could be that day for you that says, I choose this love. Maybe you're here today and you've forgotten how much God really loves you. You've stumbled. You failed. You continue to fail. You continue to make mistakes. Maybe you need to be reminded that God just loves you for who you are. So can I remind you of that? And it's easy to come back to Him. All you have to do is turn and say, Lord, I love you and I want to be with you. May today be that day that you make that choice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives. Lord, thank you for loving us even when we don't deserve to be loved. Father, today may we grasp a hold of that love in a greater way. Today, Father, maybe someone here in this room or watching at home online has never given their life to Christ, has never accepted the love that you have for them. Father, Romans 10 verse 9 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, if we turn from our ways, we turn towards you, that we can have everlasting, eternal life by asking you into our hearts to be our Savior, to be our King. So Father, today, if there's someone here, may they just say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I turn away from my ways and I turn towards you. Love me, Father, as I love you. Thank you for all that you have done. For those that are here today that have said that prayer before but have found themselves at a distance from you, Father, you don't go anywhere. We do. We have somehow separated ourselves from the love of God. Lord, may today be this day where they can turn back and say, I know that you still love me, Lord. Like the prodigal son, I am returning back to you. I don't deserve anything that you will give me, but you will. I just ask for your love. Help me, Lord Jesus, to turn away from the things of this world and to grasp a hold of the love that you have for us. Help us today to learn to love you. Help us today to have our ability to be loved by you increase, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. You deserve all of this and so much more. Pull us from our pit of despairs. Pull us away from our sin that hangs on our hearts and ourself so strongly, so much weight that we sometimes can't see where you're at. And help us to grasp a hold of you, Father, to be loved by you, to know your love. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing this song together.
There I was on the road, guilty in the first degree. It's all about hanging on a hill. Hell was my destiny. The crowd was shouting, crucified. They couldn't know from these lips of mine. The dirty shame was killing me. It would take a miracle to wash me. And I read the red letter, and I cared to see the prison wall started falling. I became a free man that day. Thank you. that day. For God so loved the whole wide world, sent His only Son to die for me. His arms spread wide over the whole wide world. His arms spread wide where man should be. Jesus changed my destiny. So thank you, God, for better and the ground to shake. Let's God start falling, and I became a free man that day. And I am a free man today.
We are free today because of you. Free to accept the love that you give to us, Lord Jesus. We thank you for that love. We ask you that you would send us forth today into our communities, into our neighborhoods, into our families, into our homes, to love those around us like the way that you love us. Father, today may we be your hands and feet. May this week we have opportunities to share the love of Christ with those around us, because you deserve that, Father. Help us today to be reminded not only that you love us, but you love others too, Father, and that you've called us to share that love. Send us forth today in that love that can only come from you. Help us to glorify, honor, and praise you in everything that we do and say. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all of those things and so much more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. I hope you have a wonderful week. We look forward to seeing you again next week.